Good morning. Today is March 5th, 2024. It is 10:01 a.m. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. On to today's agenda item number three is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will also be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those items, those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature. If you're calling in, you can use star six to raise your hand, and I believe star nine to unmute yourself. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number four, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for the March 5th, 2024 meeting. County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to today's agenda?
There are not.
All right, Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments regarding today's agenda?
No questions or comments. Thank you, sir.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number five. This is also for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the January 16th, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about those minutes?
No, thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, move to approve the minutes from our January 16th, 2024 meeting as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
None. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No. Good to go.
All right. How about any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to kick things off at the Sheriff's Office today. Sheriff Cullen.
Commissioners, good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. Just a couple of quick things. All week, our Sheriff's Administration is down in Reno and back and forth at the Western States Sheriff's Association meeting representing Story County, networking with other Western State Sheriffs and discussing the national topics at hand. And it's a real good thing for us to get involved with those folks. The other thing I want to do is just quickly congratulate and thank the Public Works NDOT for coordinating, working with the Sheriff's Office and getting the roads cleared. But not only them, the people that are supposed to do it, but the neighbors, the folks around town that have really stepped up for their neighbors. They really made it easier for us to get access to the houses and things and by clearing each other's walkways and stuff. And I just want to say thank you to everybody publicly. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Sheriff?
I do not. Thank you, Sheriff.
All right, Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Sheriff. How about the Fire Protection District?
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcarp for the record. I'm sorry I'm not there in person. Leads me to kind of my first update. We're currently hosting our annual EMS refresher. Since we got recognition as a state training facility, we're able to do this EMS training in-house. So it is a week long. This saves the district thousands of dollars because obviously we're not sending staff off to other areas to get this training. So this is a valuable asset for the fire district, and I'm learning and keeping up on my skills as well. So I'm down here attending it now. Next, I'd like to bring up our Adopt a Hydrant program and just the level of support we've received from the residents and the businesses within Lockwood, Virginia City, even out in the Highlands on our cisterns. People are really pitching in to help us clear those. As you know, it's very difficult. This snowstorm was quite an event. And trying to balance calls and other needs and requests to the district, we certainly appreciate their help. Next, our ambulance subscription. We're making a big push to get more subscribers and to get the word out there. So many people still just don't know of our ambulance subscription program and the value it has to them and their families. So we're on a push right now. So we're just trying to get the word out. We did a little special with KTVN just to get that word out as well. And it seems to have positive effects. We've been receiving a lot of phone calls, and hopefully we can get those numbers up in our memberships. And our last update is we are just finalizing the FEMA grants that have just begun to open. The first one is the Assistance to Firefighters grant. We're going to be seeking the diesel exhaust evacuation systems for the new station out of 72 and for 171. Those are the only two buildings right now that we do not have systems built in. So it's important we get that diesel exhaust and all the carcinogens out of the fire station where these guys are living or working. So that could run upwards of $75,000. Because of our population, we're only subject to a 5% match. If awarded, it would be within the new budget year that's coming up. So we'll make sure we budget appropriately for that. And I'll take any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
I do not. Thank you, Chief.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again. Moving right along to Public Works. Morning, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator, in for Director Wiersbicki. All of our personnel with water treatment and wastewater treatment certs are down at the water conference today. For Jason's staff report, first item up is the recent storm. There were a lot of hours were spent in preparation and plowing during the event. Part of this was balancing the hours spent plowing versus the hours we could spend in snow removal. You may have seen some county plows working over the weekend, but Monday morning saw a full resource push to remove the snow. Operations on C Street started yesterday, resumed this morning at 0400, and are actually completed already by now. Item two is, both residents and C Street businesses are reminded not to throw the snow out into the freshly cleaned street, which can cause hazards in the travel lanes. We are still working on the snow removal plan, which will include notification of snow removal operations so that both groups will have an opportunity to export snow from their property. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Mike?
No questions. Thanks, Mike.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mike, for that. You're going to cruise right into operations and projects coordinator stuff?
Yes, sir.
Rock and roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For my staff report, I just want to report on the fairgrounds improvements. We are continuing to work with tourism and planning on the dowel design for the utilities improvements down there. We're closing out the concept phase right now, moving into working plans, and I'll have an updated project scheduled this week. Item two is the Lockwood Senior Center. We're making a few last minute tweaks to the site plan with input from senior services, planning, and public works. We're currently preparing bid documents and should have a bid date to announce at the next meeting. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Vice Chairman?
Good to go.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you. Moving right along to our business development director, who I think is going to have her update done by our administrative officer, Honey Coughlin.
Hello, Honey Coughlin, administrative officer for the record. For Laura Mather's report, she had been working with CalNEVA Signs. And later in 2023, the Story County Complex sign on our building down on Peru Drive in Trick. It used to say McCarran Complex or something like that. It now says Story County Complex or maybe Government Complex. There was no signage at the road to indicate what was there when you would turn in off of Peru Drive. So that sign has been installed and it looks really nice. It stands out well and it's actually a really pretty blue color. So if you're driving in the area and want to see our new sign for our Story County Government Complex, please go down and look at that. Also, happy to report, we have our new grants manager, Sarah Sturtz. She is going to be an absolute wonderful addition to the Story County team. And she has a huge background in grants management and administration, and also an extensive history in historic preservation. So she's going to fit right in. And so we are just really happy to have her on board. And then so I'm going to just give a little brief recap on how these appropriations work. For 2023, we applied for the Lockwood Senior Center, the fairgrounds upgrade, and the Fire Station 71. So that was 2023. In 2023, for 2024, we applied for the Gold Hill Sewer Collection System and the Sheriff Substation in at TRI in our Story County Government Complex. We just got a letter this morning from Congressman Amadei's office. He pushed forward our Gold Hill Sewer Collection System to the Appropriations Committee. And so we got a confirmation that says they, Congressman Amadei's office is confirming $2.5 million to Story County for the Gold Hill Sewer Collection System replacement. And they anticipate that this bill is going to be passed by both the House and Senate this week, and then will be signed into law shortly thereafter. So that is very good news for that project. And then the current appropriations that Laura has been working on in 2024 will be awarded in 2025. So it's always like we're a year, we're working behind and ahead, because our projects from 2023 we're still working on and will carry on. So we're going to try to differentiate them when we talk about them a little more by year, so it's more easy to understand as we discuss these projects moving forward. But other than that, that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that report. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey?
No questions. Thank you, Honey.
Ms. Sherman?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. And welcome aboard. All right. How about our planning department? Kathy Canfield. All right. Emergency management.
Oh, he doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah. It's been a busy week for you, hasn't it?
I got a long list.
All right. We got time.
Morning, commissioners. Adam Wilson, director of emergency management, for the record. Like I said, unfortunately, I have a long list for you this week. So we'll start with the storms. That storm was 30% of our annual snowpack in 4 days. We're now sitting at 94% of our water year, which is good news for our source water protection areas. Looking into the future, there is a chance of minor storms starting tonight through Thursday a.m. and mid-weekend through midweek. Again, these are all shaping up to be minor storms with minimal impact. Last week, Monday through Wednesday, I was in Las Vegas for the regional or the statewide emergency preparedness conference, where I spoke on one of the days about our partnerships out at TRI and the regional approach that we've been taking. It was really well received and just a great opportunity to get what we're doing as a county out there across the state. Tomorrow, I'll be speaking at the governor's mansion at a floodplain management and watershed protection conference. That's another great opportunity for us to get our name and all the hard work we've been doing up here out there. So we're looking forward to that one. This week, I contacted Quad Public Health Preparedness. Jim Morgan with the fire district had mentioned they're sitting on a stash of bleeding control kits that our safety committee has been looking into getting. It was going to cost the county $5,000 to $6,000 to purchase these kits for all of our vehicles in the fleet. And Quad Public Health said they'll buy them for us. So that's another great opportunity for us there. They also are sitting on a surplus of grant funds this year. So they're taking in any applications we have for different projects that meet their public health criteria. So I'm working with different departments to try and get a list together to submit to them for some projects we could get funded. And it's a super short time frame. They have to have them fulfilled by June. So we would see these results almost immediately with these projects. Well, let's see. We're coordinating a mitigation meeting between State EM and Story County that was supposed to happen yesterday, but with the storm, we've pushed that back. This is another one where they're sitting on some money and looking for mitigation projects. So we're going to bring them up here and have our county staff meet with the State EM and try and find some projects that they can help us knock out. So that has now been moved to the 25th of this month due to the weather. I'd like to shout out to the Sheriff's Office and the Fire District. They did the joint training for the active shooter exercise we're going to be holding the end of this month. They did social media posts, and the comments are just incredible on that from the public that they were happy to see. So big shout out to them for working together on that. And then again, that training will be March 20th. That we're going to be running that active shooter tabletop for the county. And then in August, we'll do a functional exercise and apply what we learned in that tabletop. The safety committee has formed a subcommittee to try and overhaul that program to make it a little more valuable to the county. Honey is rushing it, going through the safety manual and cleaning that up and getting some job descriptions in there. So that'll be coming before you guys in the next few months for approval again. On to our FEMA projects. Those have finally started moving ahead at light speed. 4 of 9 have now been obligated, which means they were sent to the state for, the funds were sent to the state for dispersal to the jurisdictions. I've completed the application with the state, so we should hopefully start seeing those funds come in soon. So we're looking at almost $20,000 for the mine pond damages, almost $6,000 for the baseball field, $40,000 for debris removal, and $120,000 for the Lowstown Road damages that we should be seeing shortly. Our other projects that are still pending are our Superfund site, which is about $30,000 in reimbursement. And then our biggest project was the damage to Taylor Street, the B Street retaining wall, and a few other spots. That's $483,000. Those projects are still under FEMA's review, so we'll have some time on those. And then finally, in April, we at the Quad County Emergency Management level have been working with the emergency management in Austin, Texas, and then the big special event South by Southwest. They've had some pretty significant lessons learned. They spoke at an international emergency management conference, and we really liked what they had to say. So they agreed they're going to fly their crew out here in April. And they're going to do a whole training just for the Quad Counties. So Todd Tuttle and a few others have already signed up to attend that. And that's another great opportunity for us to learn from somebody else on how to better protect our special events here. And finally, that is it. I'll take any questions.
No updates on social media going down?
Oh, gosh. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes. Social media. Keep going away. So the social media, it's Meta, went down this morning. It is their entire system. It's affecting WhatsApp for Business, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. It's so severe that they aren't able to get into their own system. I actually saw there was discussion where the employees themselves thought they had been laid off because they couldn't access the Meta systems. So there is no time frame on restoration right now. It is not just us. It's international. It's down in Europe, North America, everywhere. So more to follow on that. But as of now, they have no time of restoration. And Homeland Security is also monitoring that in case there's any sort of malintent behind their systems being down.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Adam?
I do not. Thank you, Adam.
Chairman?
No, I'm glad we got the important stuff in there at the end.
Indeed. Thank you again, Adam. Appreciate the update and all hands on deck during this storm.
Something's coming soon.
Right? All right. How about the Virginia City Tourism Commission?
Morning, Commissioners. Todd Tuttle, Tourism Director, for the record. Big thank you to Public Works and the Sheriff's Department for organizing and being able to clear that area for C Street for parking and moving forward with the Oyster Fry coming up. We're concerned about making sure that we've got a clear area to make that all happen. So hats off and thank you. Thank you very much for making it move forward. Go West, as you know, was held here in the Nevada area on February 25th through the 29th. These are attended by the group and tour planners from all over the world. They had a phenomenal turnout. We were able to be at the airport on Sunday to meet and greet most of those that were coming to the conference, which then led to an opportunity to interact with them on Monday for social events and et cetera. We had some very good positive feedback about redirecting their tours. Usually they fly into San Francisco, go down to Yosemite, cross the Grand Canyon, and then out. We talked to them about redirecting to be able to come to Reno into Virginia City and then on down to Yosemite from the backside, which was met with very positive responses. So the contingents from Canada, Germany, Italy, and China both responded positive to our direction in connecting with them. So we're happy to see some of those feedbacks. It's just like what Honey has. We put it in the pipeline. It's a year to 2 years as we build fruition for it, but excited for it. And then finally, we had a big familiarization tour for them to be held on Thursday. Unfortunately, the weather men kept telling that it was a blizzard. And so we went from a completely sold out crowd of 30 with additional 20 as backups on the waiting list. We were the most popular outing adventure for this group. Dwindled down to around 21 on Wednesday night. On Thursday morning, we were down to 14 and only 8 showed up. The contingent came from China and Italy and Germany, of which they were really impressed with coming out here. And of course, we had the sunshine and some beautiful weather. So reports were extremely well in those events. Other events coming up, want to make sure that you're aware of the Mix and Mingle will be on Tuesday the 11th at 6 p.m. at Piper's Opera House. So we'll discuss more of what's happening with Taylor Street parades and the events that are going on upcoming. A big point to remember is the Cultural Corridor meeting with the public on March 18th at Piper's Opera House at 6 p.m. We're in conjunction with Carson Valley and Carson City, vying for our share of a $2 million grant that will help recognize and identify more of these little offbeat cultural aspects of tourism. So Virginia City's done an excellent job in promoting what we have here for the mines and attractions, et cetera. This will help bring attention to our architecture, our artists, some of those fine points that we'd like to draw more from and be able to use a larger platform to speak out of. So all the support that we can get from the community to attend would be appreciated. Once again, it's at 6 o'clock on March 18th at Piper's Opera House. Coming up, of course, is March 16th, the Oyster Fry. It'll be from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. We've got quite a bit of television and radio PR going on for next week for it. We will set up on Friday evening. There will be some disruption on movement down through C Street. It won't close, but we will be setting up tents and a number of things on Friday evening itself. Saturday, we will close the street from 6 o'clock until 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock is where we're at on the DOT. So be aware from Sutton to Union, we'll actually go all the way to the crosswalk right across by the Bucket of Blood. That will be closed off and will close off Union from access going east and west. There will be limited access from Taylor Street down for parking only as we are able to work into that area. Just for reference, we have 12 cooks that will be in attendance in relationship to that's about as many as we've had in the years in past. We are way ahead of sales for tickets this year the parade in association. The St. Patrick's Day Parade will start at 12 o'clock. They will gather just south of the sheriff's office and then move down through C Street. They'll assemble at 8:45. Everything should be done by 12:45. We will close C Street during that parade time, so just be aware of it coming up. The St. Patty's Made Me Do It Saloon Crawl. Once again, we're way ahead of where we are any years previous, so we're excited about those numbers that are turning out. And of course, there'll also be a performance at Piper's Opera House that night. It will be done by Kevin Farley. He's the brother of Chris Farley, one of the great comedians of the United States, to be performing here at 7 o'clock at Piper's Opera House. The Father-Daughter Day and Dance on Saturday, April 13th, will be 11 o'clock to 4:30. There's three dances, 12:30, 2 o'clock, and 3:30. The 12:30 dance is already sold out. We're pretty close to selling out the second, the 2 o'clock and the 3:30. So that event has become a tremendous success also. Chili on the Comstock, Saturday, May 18th and 19th, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Be aware of that. April 6th, the Renegade Orchestra will be performing at Piper's Opera House at 7 p.m. And put on the calendars now, the Celebration of Heroes Parade In conjunction with Memorial Day, will be on Saturday, May 25th at 12 p.m. And one unique piece, again, we want to make people aware of is the Fast Car Rally on Saturday, June 1st. That will be those cars from the 1920s and 1930s racing on D Street against the clock. We'll be able to observe from the balconies of C Street. So a lot of great functions, a lot of opportunity to see something of that era here on Virginia City. So we're expecting some good turnout. That's my report.
Thank you, Todd. Austin, are you going to be racing?
I will.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Thank you again for that update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update again, Todd. All right. How about the Comptroller's Office?
Good morning. Nothing for today. Just budgets, budgets, budgets.
Sounds good, Jennifer. Thank you. I don't see the assessor. Well, how about we jump to the Recorder's Office? All right. Thank you, Drew. How about the IT department?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Quick update for you. We have the pool project cameras, or the cameras at the pool have been completed. And our next camera project will be the 5 Mile Reservoir. With the weather, it's going to be delayed a little bit, but I'll give you a report on that when that's completed as well. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for James?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Thank you.
All right. How about human resources?
Nothing to report today, Commissioner.
Oh, thank you, Brandy. Community development.
Good morning, Commissioners. Joseph Starnes here for the record. I'm filling in for Pete. Pete's out in the industrial park meeting with some prospective clients today. So he asked me to fill in for him. So we're business as usual. We're seeing almost record-breaking numbers as far as permitting and inspections the last since 2024, January, February, the months of those two. We're seeing inspection numbers as we see in the summertime. So we're anticipating quite the busy spring and summer this year. So that's pretty cool. And then we're working on implementing our new inspection and permitting system that we will be adopting sometime probably in June of 2024. And so we're cleaning up the old system and getting ready for that. That's pretty exciting stuff. Should be more suited for building inspections and permitting. And then also we have our monthly dashboards that are available to anybody in the public, as well as you guys, at any time. We have been updating them to the website monthly. But as of recent, I think we might have stopped until we implement the new website. But those are available to anybody if you want to see what our numbers actually are as far as inspections for the month, permitting. It's really detailed how we have it broken down so the public can see what we're actually doing, or you guys. And we're also working on some new and unique ways of reporting how many, like, boots on the ground, how many square feet are we actually inspecting each month. So, for example, in the month of February, our inspectors, including myself, inspected 2,328,000 square feet of occupant space. Now, mind you, we're not actually walking 21 million square feet. That's just the square footage of the actual buildings that we're inspecting. So it's pretty neat, pretty exciting way to look at things, the way we're starting to report things. So good stuff coming from community development. We're staying busy. And yeah, I'll accept any questions.
Thank you for that update, Joe. Appreciate you picking up the slack. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Joe?
A fun report. Thanks, Joe. Enjoyed that.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, good to go. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you.
How about the Senior Center, Stacy York?
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. Lockwood is going to have their annual soup cook-off
That is on Saturday, March 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse. Also starting on April 1st out in Lockwood, Virginia City will be providing meals for all the Lockwood seniors out there. It's come time that we don't need Washoe County and we can handle it in-house. So we're moving forward with that. Really excited to start serving them. This Sunday, March 10th, will be the celebration of life for longtime Story County resident Barbara Bowers at the Ice House at 12 p.m. And then I, like honey, get to introduce a new employee. We have Bob Hastings. He's our new community resource coordinator. So he joined us last Monday, and we're looking forward to having him on our team. And that is all for today.
Wonderful. Thank you for the update, Stacy. Welcome, Bob. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Stacy?
No questions. Thanks, Stacy.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Good to go. Thank you.
Thank you again, Stacy. Great news in Lockwood. All right. Moving right along to the District Attorney's Office.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. No update at this time.
Thank you very much, Brian. That's always good news. About the County Manager's Office.
Right, Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. County Manager, I just want to thank my team for everything they're doing with the snow. Really kind of describing what this is like. You know, I understand there are times that NDOT up here in this office is running with one person at times, maybe two, probably at most, at any given time. And that person's covering a region that I have been told goes all the way out as far as Silver Springs. So we really thank their team or person for getting C Street and Geiger Grade and all of that cleared as much as I can. And I also want to thank our Sheriff's Office and Jason and his team with Public Works for working with NDOT and kind of coordinating an effort not only to do all the roads that we have throughout the county, but also to blast out C Street and use their new blower and all their equipment and the sheriff blocking traffic so they can go ahead and hit all the lanes and do all that at once. So it's really a coordinated effort. And I just kind of want to remind folks is everybody really in the county, all of our offices are affected when we have these snow closures or delays or events, whether it's, you know, the clerk's office that has responsibilities that must be done per NRS on a specific day. And we got to try to figure out to make sure everything is compliant there. IT department, whenever it's snowing and the roads are a mess, so are the radio communications and all of the equipment across the county that they have to work. I remember one time camping next to a generator last year. I mean, it gets to that level. So every one of us, every department that we see is somehow affected by these storms, and everybody just gets into action and they all work together. And it's really wonderful, but impactful. So that's the snow report. Just want to let you know, we're still working on the trying to get a board of appeals set up. We're going to hit a little bit different angle with social media, but we ask anybody in the community, if you know somebody that has fire prevention background or has construction background, those are the two positions that we need to recruit in order to have a Board of Appeals effective. We do have several applicants for the at-large position that doesn't require those specific backgrounds, and those folks are still in the queue to be interviewed when we have enough applicants for the whole board. And then lastly, working with Jennifer McCain, our comptroller, this is really the year that our departments are kind of feeling that pressure, and I really appreciate their patience in working with us, is double clutching the gears into the capital improvement plan and into the strategic plan, into the staffing and organizational chart. There is a lot of integration going on that this year. It's a little bit tougher than the prior years, but it's important that we get all of these plans lined up with the fiscal planning what we have for the next coming year. So really a lot of thank you and thank you to our team for that. That's all I have.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for the update. How about our clerk treasurer's office?
Thank you, Commissioners. Jim Hindle, clerk treasurer, for the record. I don't want to keep you too long, but we do have quite a few things going on within the clerk treasurer's office. Right now, we concluded the Board of Equalization meeting on the 21st of February.
But we have activity still going on there, as we've been informed that there will be one appeal to the state. And so we are working with the assessor's office to get all that information together, organized into the format that the State Board of Equalization wants in order for that to move forward and for us to clear that off. We have the Debt Management Commission, which is meeting this Friday. This is mainly an organizational hearing, an organizational meeting, but we also have a request from the school district to review financing issues for the new educational complex that they want to build. We have property tax payments coming in through last week. We really started to pick up. And with some of the weather, we've had a lot more phone calls and a lot more activity. I want to let people know that given the weather, we do recognize that it has been harder for people to get to the office and pay property taxes. And so we are providing a grace period through this week. There will be no penalties or anything applied until after that. Thanks to all departments to getting month end packets and AP packets in before the weather hit. We were able to get that closed and everybody worked diligently. And we really want to thank people for getting that in and getting it before things got a little bit hairy. District court remains busy with an increasing caseload. And most importantly, there's extra work going on right now because of a couple appeals going to the state Supreme Court, which again, requires a lot more reformatting and collection of the case information in order to get that appropriately provided to the Supreme Court so they can schedule hearings. And then DMV, we have filled, hopefully at this point, our clerk position. However, with some of the backlog we have, and then with training and overall qualification with the DMV, we expect it to be a little bit accelerated, but we don't anticipate opening the window for vehicle registration until close to the summer. So it's going to be June before that gets up and going again. And then, as always, elections seem to take up a lot of time and be perpetual these days. The candidate filing period for the June primary opened yesterday. Thank you to intrepid candidates for coming up and making it through the weather. That remains open through Friday the 15th. On the heels of that, we have the mock election using the new voter registration election management system that the Secretary of State is developing with the counties. That is next Monday and Tuesday. That will be our first try to see how this is going to work for the June primary, because the Secretary of State intends to switch over from our legacy system that we have been using to this new system for that election. A lot of work going on that because, of course, there's a lot of focus on making sure that's ready, and there are still some hurdles to overcome. And we are still completing and the final reporting and cleanup from the PPP. That still goes on, and we are doing our risk limiting audit of the process to make sure that everything went well. We don't anticipate any issues, but it's all a formality, but it does take time. An effort to go through that for the Secretary of State as well. So we continue to be quite busy. And again, the staff in the clerk's office is working overtime to some extent, but also just putting in a lot of diligence and a lot of dedication to get us through this period when we're a little short-staffed, as well as increasing activity. So thanks for that.
Thank you for the update, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jim?
I do not. Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, appreciate that. Is there anybody else that I did not call on that has an update for us in the courtroom or online? All right, thank you again to all our staff and elected officials for those updates. Very much appreciated. We're going to move on to item number 8, which is board comment. I'm going to start with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any specific comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The only thing I wanted to talk about today was a big thank you again to the Public Works Department, working tirelessly to make sure our roads are clear. NDOT locally, they've got quite a big route to take care of. Our fire department, our sheriff's office, everybody was on point. Our emergency manager was, I'm sure, working overtime for that last week. Just want to say thank you to everybody. Story County looks great. Everything is pretty much passable. Except for a few roads out in the Highlands in my neighborhood. Otherwise, I think
what has been dubbed maybe close to the storm of the century. I think we came out relatively unscathed. So again, kudos to everybody that was involved in making sure everybody was safe, roads are clear, and nothing went too crazy. That's all I've got today. We're going to move on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action to adopt the Long Valley Creek Flood Hazard Mitigation Plan. JUB Engineering will be giving a short presentation of the plan. To view a complete copy of this plan, including appendixes, please email planning@storycounty.org or see storycounty.org/planning/updates/Long Valley Creek Hazard Mitigation Plan and presentation. Kathy.
Yes, thank you, Kathy Canfield, for the record. So this is the final step in the Long Valley Creek Flood Hazard Mitigation Plan. Jeff Legal from JUB is here to give a short presentation. This was presented to the Lockwood community on January 25th. We sent out postcard notices to everybody that's in the Canyon GID service area for the meeting, and it was very well attended. We had some of our planning commissioners were there also for that. And so we are looking today to adopt this and then move forward with trying to implement some of these projects that are in here. So Jeff can give a quick overview of what the report does. And then just as a reminder for anybody that's interested, it is online on our website. There's also a physical hard copy of it at the community center in Lockwood if anybody there is interested in seeing it too. So invite Jeff up and then I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Kathy. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Meagle, project manager at JUB for the record. And today I just want to give an overview of the flood hazard mitigation plan that we developed with the planning department. So we looked at the communities of Lockwood Community Corporation and Rainbow Bend. I'll refer to those jointly as Lockwood today. We looked at the flood risk resulting from Long Valley Creek specifically. We did not look much at the Truckee River. So some of the purposes and goals of the study were to identify what flood hazards exist, develop strategies to mitigate them, particularly with preliminary design projects, evaluate the cost and likely benefit of those projects, and establish future efforts like capital improvements planning and grant research or grant avenues. I want to emphasize that all the designs are preliminary and should be developed more as they go forward. This is sort of the first step in identifying the primary hazards and what can be done to alleviate them. We used many methods to identify flood risk, one of which was asking the community what happens during flooding here. We worked with Canyon GID and Story County Public Works and Planning. We also did extensive hydraulic modeling using design storms established by the Army Corps of Engineers. So we found of the 5 bridges along Long Valley Creek, Avenue of the Colors, the Cerise Bridge, Perry Ranch Road, and North Canyonway and South Canyonway, we found that, if I can gesture on the screen here, we've got the Cerise Bridge here has the lowest capacity just behind the South Canyonway Bridge. So we tried to establish what is the approximate capacity of the stream now, and how could that capacity be improved? That's the gray line you see there. If we were to take away the flow constraints completely, i.e. the bridges, what do we have? That sort of bracketed our approach. In identifying flood risk, we used a methodology sometimes used by FEMA, that is, to determine what is the risk to infrastructure and pedestrians. So here are some of the evaluations we looked at. We looked at a broad range, looking at upstream, pretty extensive improvements in Lockwood. And we decided to eliminate upstream improvements such as storage reservoirs, with the majority of the watershed being privately owned and difficult to access. We found that the size of the reservoir required to have significant flood reduction wouldn't move the needle, so to speak, enough to justify the cost. We also looked at an upstream debris basin, which we recommend moving forward with, but we did not design in detail, since that is not as likely, in our opinion, to be eligible for grant funding. And there is a greater need downstream. So our analysis really focused on bridge modifications, removals, channel modifications, including expansions and combination of those alternatives. So we ran many, many models, hydraulic models, to look at different alternatives. I can go into details if you're interested, but we found that focusing the expansions at basically all the bridges in a priority that we'll describe will have the greatest benefit cost ratio. Pretty much each bridge we call for expansion of. And here is a sample of the preliminary design that we've produced. Up here, you can see the alternatives listed in this first column, the way that we grouped these combinations. In alternative one, we looked at what if we modify all the bridges? What's the greatest effect? And that also happens to be one of the greatest costs. Down here, we looked at very targeted removal or modification of bridges at South Canyon Way in alternative five, and the Ceres Bridge in alternative four. We looked at combining those in alternative three, and then a subset of alternative one and alternative two. So those were the selection that we provided of the many combinations that we did, that we performed benefit cost analyses on. So to determine benefit, we looked at what is the reduction in inundation boundary, how much gets wet during a certain storm, and then a slightly more nuanced version of that, which is multiplying the depth of flood water times the velocity to determine flood risk of vehicles sliding or being floated away and people being swept off their feet. We can also estimate in rough terms damage to infrastructure with that criterion. To determine cost, we used recent bid tabulations and cost estimates for similar projects. And another special criterion we used was, what is the impact to the sheriff's office in Lockwood and the fire station in Lockwood? Can we target improvements to improve emergency response? Along similar lines, we looked at evacuation routes, particularly Canyon Way north of the Ceres Bridge, to evacuate people out of the community when needed. If we could select improvements that would decrease flood water in those locations, we prioritize those. So here's an example of that depth times velocity figure. And this shows in the existing condition, we have a primary flood corridor here along Canyon Way. We see relatively high hazard flow in many locations. The flow is highest throughout the streets, and we see along Avenue de La Argente, we see a flood corridor going back to Long Valley Creek, and then along Avenue de Beauclair and out north. We do see floodwater escaping through LCC and coming into Rainbow Bend. In alternative three, we can see that some of those elements have been. We've gone from this very high extreme hazard along Canyon Way, that evacuation route, reduced to a high hazard. Still not ideal. We're trying to fit 9,100 CFS, cubic feet per second, in a channel that just can't handle. So trying to reduce those stream avulsions to the extent that we can. We see similar reductions along the eastern portion of Rainbow Bend. We produced and analyzed results figures like these for all of the alternatives, the one through five. And I have those at the end if you'd like to see them. I'll keep it brief if that's okay. Here is a comparison of water surface elevation. In blue, we have reduction. In red, we have local increase. So you'll see for alternative three, that's removal of South Canyon Way and the Ceres Bridge. And by removal, I mean removal and replacement to correspond with the expansion of the channel. We see local decreases. This gray area represents Very little change or zero change. The big area that we see reduced is the west side of Rainbow Bend. Of note, we see a slight increase in the confluence of the Truckee River and Long Valley Creek. Those increases are not present in all alternatives, but we found that in some cases, that minor reduction was offset by the benefit elsewhere. We see inundation boundary decreases similar to this view, white being existing conditions and green being improved. So here again are the ranked alternatives. We recommend modification of South Canyon Way and the Cerise Bridge. We found that this benefit cost ratio was above one and therefore is suitable for seeking grant funding, and would remove, I need to be careful about how I state this. We found that the reduction in inundation boundary encompassed 100 buildings. 100 buildings that were inundated before, we found in our model results that they would not be with this alternative. And you can see the others. We found that modifying all bridges, while we recommend that, because there are non-tangible benefits that are difficult to quantify, the cost of that is quite high at $12 million. I appear to have lost the ability to advance slides.
We need to click back onto it.
You want to go forward?
Yes, no, just click back onto what he's doing.
Sorry. Thank you. So talking about grant considerations, we're aware of the high likelihood that FEMA will be interested in funding projects like these. These are very suitable to their what were once called hazard mitigation grant project, grant program and BRIC projects. I'm sure those names are changing all the time, but these are very suitable for those sorts of grants. And I think that Kathy and I have discussed NDOT funding that might be suitable as well. So the next steps would be, I'll come back to sort of the strings attached, but including these items in capital improvements plans, determining those grant requirements, and then advancing the design commensurate with grant and analyses as you go. As you know, the likely strings that will be attached will be associated with federal funding, will be NEPA permitting. That likely entails cultural resource, biological resource, and other evaluations. Engagement with the Army Corps of Engineers, and of course FEMA will be required. And then we expect that NDEP and Nevada Division of State Lands will need to be consulted as well. That's probably a 30 to 60% design engagement level. Lastly, we did a comparison of the special flood hazard area. The special flood hazard areas are the basis, they still are the basis for determination of flood insurance rates for residents in Lockwood. So here we have the existing special flood hazard area. In blue, we have what's called a zone AE, for which base flood elevations have been determined. That is, FEMA has said, here is the elevation we think flooding will occur at during the 100-year storm. These results are from the early 90s, and modeling and mapping technology has advanced so that we can have a much more nuanced version of that mapping. This is not effective mapping. This is an analog that we've developed from our results. So the blue again is, if you were to interpret the results we produced through the criteria that FEMA uses, this would be a zone AE analog for which flood insurance would likely be required. The orange would be a less than 1 foot depth using that criteria. So the outshot of this is there is the potential, if we cycle back and forth, to better represent flood risk in FEMA's terms and largely limit it to the streets. This may result in fewer people, fewer residents in this community being required to purchase flood insurance. That was something that was very interesting to the residents and tangential to the scope of the study. So we presented that. So that's sort of the end of the material I've prepared. I'd be happy to answer questions if you have them.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that update. I think most of the commissioners were down there in Lockwood, but it's good for everybody to get a recap. Sure. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments? You're on mute, sir.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman?
So I guess my only question is just at what point is the significance of adopting this hazard mitigation plan? And what does that mean for us?
In my view, that reflects the intent to begin the capital improvements planning effort and to begin searching for grants and matching funds and funds to leverage local match for federal to start that process. But I think I'll have to defer to Kathy on the remainder.
So this is Kathy. So this is something that when we do reach out for grant funding, they want to see that there's a plan, that the plan's been vetted through the community, that the government agencies, the controlling people have reviewed this and have adopted it. So this is kind of our first step of what we need in order to start seeking out funding sources.
Got it. And so at this point, there are multiple alternatives presented. Are we leaving all those alternatives on the table as we start that process? Or are we, do we have preferred alternative that we're pursuing first? Just curious kind of what the direction is from that perspective.
I think what staff have looked at was seeing which one of these alternatives we think we can find some funding for and do that. I think ultimately we'd like to do all of it. Mm-hmm. So it's really prioritizing what gets the biggest bang for the buck as it is, what can make the best improvement. What do we think that there's finding for? That benefit cost analysis is really important to be able to show that you're getting a rank of higher than one.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful to have done with this project. We have our Dayton Valley plan that didn't have that as part of it. And so now that's having to be developed and it's taking extra time to do that. So we're ready to jump on this a lot faster than we can with some other reports and things that we've had done.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Truly appreciate the update, the presentation. With that, Vice Chairman Mitchell, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to adopt the Long Valley Creek Flood Hazard Mitigation Plan.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for taking the time to come up, Jeff. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 10, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to direct county staff to complete the replacement of the water filter media in the water treatment system at a cost of $100,000, not to exceed $105,000. The commission approved the expenditure of $75,000 for this project at the February 5th, 2024 meeting. Board of County Commissioners meeting. This project had not been updated with the current estimate of $100,000. Honey
Coughlin, for the record. So the water treatment plant went into use in 1997 and the water filter media has not been replaced since. Quotes 6 months ago for replacement of this filter media was $75,000 and the most recent quote is $93,000. By the time the water system is prepped for the filter replacement, the cost is anticipated to be $100,000. And as was stated at the February 20th, 2024 Board of County Commissioners meeting, the commission approved the expenditure of $75,000 for this project. I had not remembered to include the most recent cost estimate. And as a note, this project is going to be done out of the infrastructure fund and not the capital fund, just for clarification.
All right. Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey at this time?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any, Vice Chairman, would you care to make a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve county staff to complete the replacement of the water filter media in the water treatment system at the cost of $100,000, not to exceed $105,000.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, honey. On to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to authorize county staff to enter into an agreement with Dow to provide GIS support for phase two of the Comstock Historic District Survey at a cost of $10,000. Honey?
Honey Coughlin, for the record. When I initially applied for this grant through the State Historic Preservation Office, I was applying for $50,000, and we were anticipating our match to be around $10,000. I was awarded the entire $60,000, and so that is going to cover the entirety of the project. $50,000 is going to be for our historic preservation consultant, the Couts Environmental, and then the $10,000 is for Dow to complete the work that they actually began when they set this project up. So in 2021, when this project was first starting, Dow created the platform, and I may not be using the proper word, but the platform in order to conduct the surveys that were ongoing. So this is just a continuation of the work that they began in 2021 and to integrate the GIS layers and everything into a usable format for the county, for the State Historic Preservation Office, and for people to be able to utilize the survey information in a public platform.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this item?
I do not. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize county staff to enter into an agreement with Dow to provide GIS support for phase two of the Comstock Historic District survey at the cost of $10,000.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 12, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to authorize county staff to enter into an agreement with Dow to complete the preliminary architect report and environmental report for phase one of the lead siphon replacement project in the approximate amount of $1,147,870. Honey.
This project I mentioned in the last couple of board meetings, initially the entire lead siphon project was estimated to be nearly $12 million, and we were having a hard time finding funding for that large of amount. We, along with Dow, broke this project down into five phases. And the way the funding happens for this phase through the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection's Board of Water Financing Water Projects, the first phase could only be the preliminary architect report and the environmental report. So once these are completed every year, we can go on then to apply for the continuing construction phases of this project, which this board has wants to fund, verbally stated that they want to fund through its entirety. So Matt Van Dyne from Dow is actually here if you have any questions relating to this phase of the project.
All right. Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for honey or Matt?
I have no questions. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions about this application. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Come on up.
Thank you. Matt Van Dyne, Senior Project Manager with Dow, will be leading this project, and just want to express our gratitude of teaming with us and all this hard work we've been in for many years. We all know this remaining 5 mile section from I-580 at the bottom up to the top of the siphon has been in place since 1875. A lot of it is above ground and a high concern to this community as being the sole source of water. An inclusion of the full design of this project will allow us to get this prepared for the additional funding coming in to parse out the phases of construction. In addition to it, There are one or two, but nearly zero established easements along the alignment. Now, we have prescriptive and rights of entry for maintaining the system, but we are going to set up, establish proper easements. We're doing full environmental permitting. So we will get this established and up to date for the entire length of that siphon from the bottom of the highway up to the top where it returns to a gravity system coming into the community. So this is a large encompassing project that is going to bring a lot of things whole. So.
All right. Thank you very much for that. With that addition, Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
No. Thanks for that update, Matt. Appreciate it.
Any public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize county staff to enter into an agreement with Dowell to complete a preliminary architect report and environmental report for phase one of the lead siphon replacement project in the approximate amount of $1,147,870.
Second that.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Honey. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. On to item number 13 is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 14, which is discussion only. Oops. Discussion only. No action will be taken. This is a report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator, reporting for Director Wurzbicki. You just had a couple of items here. Number one is Loustown Road will be going out to bid in approximately 2 weeks. Item two is they are still continuing to work on the roads CIP. And I did fail to mention in the last report for Director Wurzbicki, he just wanted to acknowledge the hard work of the Public Works crew and that he is grateful and considers himself lucky to have the crew that he has right now. With that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments regarding that update?
None. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good, thank you.
All right. I definitely echo Jason's sentiments. Thank you to you, Jason, and the rest of the team.
I'll pass that along. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, much appreciated. All right. That brings us to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action to direct staff to develop a scope of work and create a request for qualifications to outsource the preparation of a parking study to address parking and other related issues in Virginia City. Kathy?
Thank you, Kathy Campbell, for the record. So on to the next project. So we have a parking study that was done in 1993 that we are looking to update. And although the town itself hasn't really physically changed that much since 1993, we think the parking and the attendance and the function of how parking is working in the town is changing. And so we're looking at not only updating that, but identifying some different topics to maybe include from that 1993 study. And staff has brainstormed these different bullet points that you were given. I'm not sure if you want me to read through all of those ideas, but we've also shared this with the VCTC, with Todd and with Erica Perry. And we're trying to come up with a scope of work of what we would like to be included in such a document. And so we're wanting to see if the commissioners have any other ideas that maybe we want to include, and also if there's any public that's interested in identifying some of this. The one thing that was on here that we staff had internally discussed was a snow removal plan. We as staff don't think we need to include that in this document, as Public Works is pursuing a separate document to deal with that. It relates, but then it could also not relate. It get into some other things. So I'm open to if you have any comments or if you think any of this is too much or too little, or if you have any other ideas.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, comments?
My comment would be that we have been looking at commissioners at a parking study for many years now, and certainly our Virginia City market needs to have some additional parking involvement. And so I am certainly supporting this particular study. And thank you for the report, Kathy.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Kathy, I guess my one question would be this. You know, we're a little up in the air about kind of the future of county offices and how those are going to develop in the future as continued growth happens, schools potentially moving locations. Is the timing that we're anticipating on this such that as those things firm up and we get a little more clear on how that's all going to go, and not just those, but also potential new, down the road, potential new justice complex, potential district, new district court building. And there's some things that are in the works, and I'm just trying to figure out if this will leave us the flexibility to incorporate those or to account for those as we make those changes.
We can add that in. I think with anything that comes up, we're definitely looking at how parking is working or how circulation is working with whatever changes occur. It can definitely be written into this to include like future ideas and how to address those in the future. It can be written into the document that as you're assessing what the parking needs or something might be, to also then as part of approving any kind of change like that, that it also references back to this report that would be done and how it either is consistent with, or if it's not consistent, how it incorporates those primary concerns would be. We definitely could wait, but I think we'll always be waiting because there's always going to be something else coming up.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't think I'm advocating for waiting, but just trying to, as Austin mentioned in his report earlier, you know, we have strategic plan kind of coming into clarity. We have master plan update kind of in the works. And it seems like as those crystallize, it's going to put us in a little better position to then kind of strike forward with the parking plan. And so as much as we can coordinate those, I think it'd be helpful. I think it'll keep us from having to replow those same rows, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. I've looked it over. I don't have any additions at this time. We'll go to the public and see. Does anybody have any additions or comments at this time? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct staff to develop a scope of work. Sorry. Oh, no, that's right. And create a request for qualifications to outsource the preparation of a Virginia City parking study.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you,
Kathy. All right, moving right along to item number 16. This is a recess to convene as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board, bringing us to item number 17, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the first reading for the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. The applicant is Mitanshu Chanda, BC Market Gas, Liquor, and Grocery, located at 351 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Morning. Deputy Frank Valdez for the record. After reviewing and conducting an intensive background investigation on Mr. Chandra, I found no legal, financial, or civil issues. Therefore, no disqualifiers that I could see. I have no further unless there are any questions.
Thank you for that, Frank. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Sherman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Sheriff Cullen, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading of the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Mitanshu Chanda, VC Mart Gas, Liquor and Grocery, located at 351 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sheriff. All right, moving right along to item number 18 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 19. Discussion for possible action to authorize the county manager to accept and sign a proposal for topographic surveys services from Loomis and Associates for the B Street Wall Repair Project in an amount not to exceed $6,700. This is part of the FEMA reimbursed work from the heavy rain event of April 2023. Mr. Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northern, Operations Projects Coordinator. As the board may remember, there were heavy rains in April of last year, which caused the failure of the old stone retaining wall that supports B Street at or about Sutton Street. We contracted with Loomis and Associates for an evaluation and design of possible solutions, an agreement approved by this board on July 18. After an initial examination and a soils investigation, it was determined that a topographic survey was required for the design of a retaining wall stabilization method that would preserve the historic stone blocks in place. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to accept and sign a proposal for topographic survey services from Loomis and Associates for the B Street Wall Repair Project in an amount not to exceed $6,700.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
I know Lauren will be happy that's moving forward. On to item number 20. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through D. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 20 as A through D.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 21. This is the second final opportunity for public comment. Is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today? Sorry. Go for it.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Austin Osborne speaking as county manager, not really as a member of the public. But Commissioner Mitchell, I do kind of want to reflect just very briefly on your thoughts of, you know, plans and things that are happening. And you're absolutely right. The county is going through a significant change in demands that are coming to it from the state, from the federal government, from the industrial park, from other growth, residential, everything. And we are looking at different revenues and all these different things. So I really want to commend our departments, every one of them, on every meeting we're coming to you with plans. And whether it's master plans, strategic plans, working with Dow Engineering to come up with plans, Otter Resources, all these different things, it really is a sign that the county is doing a couple things. One is preparing to respond and dedicate those resources to our communities, but also to do it in a responsible manner through a planning effort. Kind of gone are the days where the county's simple enough where you can just dedicate money and go fix things. Things have to be planned out a little bit. And I really want to thank my department heads and our elected officials for that pattern. And that will definitely be a pattern we'll see into the foreseeable future. Thank you.
Thank you for that public comment, Austin. Is there any other public comment? All right, not seeing any. We're going to get to item number 22 is adjournment of all active recess boards on the agenda. Before we adjourn, I just want to ask folks, we do have a closed session. So if you can vacate the courtroom as quickly as you can and vacate Zoom, I would greatly appreciate it. This has to be a record under my tenure. It is 11:19. We're going to call this meeting adjourned.